Way back in the early 1900s, we had the Higgins finding, which in fact suggested that a fair wage to a man would be paid so that he could support a wife and two children. And that's really been the basis of our pay. Australia, of course, led the world in notions of minimum wage and fair wage and so on. But embedded in that was the notion that it was the male who was the breadwinner. And of course, this model has been carried on. We've seen it happen particularly in regional towns and cities throughout Australia, where it was the male who was employed by the state government. It was the male who was employed by local governments because they said, this is about the male breadwinner. We need to ensure the family is here. And of course, as we know, married women weren't able to work in the public service or anywhere else until 1969. So we've really only had, 50 or 60 years of women even being able to enter the workforce. And of course, when they entered the workforce, the Australian workforce particularly is extraordinarily gendered. It's one of the most gendered workforces in the world. And we have women who form 80% of teachers, 80% of nurses. So of course, we know that those jobs and those industries are also paid less, because women should be paid less. This is only a second job in the family context, which we know now is simply not true. And as more and more women enter the workforce, women are demanding a pay equality. But the difficulty with women getting low wages means that society is denied, the individuals are denied, as is society then. We have women, because they have less in their working life, become poorer old women, their superannuation and so on, and their ability to support families and themselves becomes less. So the entrenchment of that model has meant that not only has it entrenched a breadwinner style, but it's also embedded in industries which are seen as largely female, a lesser pay program.
Of course. So how has the male breadwinner model been institutionalised in not only past but present times? And what are some examples of policies that do this?
Well, I think we've seen unwritten decisions about where women can and can't work. And for example, it's taken a long time to get women onto construction sites because there's never any women's toilets, and after all, it's not women's work. We've seen cultural places, women engineers. We've seen all the work that's being done on STEM, on science, technology, engineering and maths, and trying to get young women into those there, where we find that often harassment and the culture of that place suggesting that women aren't welcome also means that, kind of the payments and the way in which they're paid says these jobs, because they're highly paid, should be for men, and this is a men's workplace. And that seems to have been perpetuated. Now, we know things are changing. One of the interesting things is Australia has one of the highest number of women who are tertiary educated in the world. Now, women now form nearly 55% of all university students. So, and they are beginning to make an impact in terms of engineering and some of those other areas, economics and analysts and so on. We've seen the fight for equal pay for women, but that still has not been realised, not because of equal pay for equal work, but because of industry differences. So financial services, banking, insurance, some of those are still paying women differently from men. We know from research that QUT did that young women lawyers are paid on average $5,000 less when they enter one of the big law firms. There's no reason for that. And usually the girls have got higher marks, have been university medalists. The only possible explanation for that is gender difference.
yeah,
sexual discrimination. So in fact, the struggle has to continue, and we have to keep saying, what is it that men are afraid of? We don't need the breadwinner model. We have large numbers of sole parents. We have a huge number of women over 50 who are on Newstart because they've found themselves divorced, without a job after 30 years being in that traditional family structure. They've supported their spouse, husband, they've supported their children, and then they find themselves divorced, without money, without a job and so on, and now there are many hundreds of thousands of them on Newstart. So the bread model, the breadwinner model is clearly not working, and men are not being allowed to, are not allowing for their wives and children necessarily. We have divorce, we have same-sex marriage, we have a whole range of different kinds of families now. We have the flexibility to ensure that men can take parental leave and so on. So that's, you know, so that model is changing, but it's changing very slowly, and the whole question of equal pay is changing very slowly.
Absolutely. And as you just mentioned before, you know, there are many women over 50 who are on Newstart. They're actually the largest group of people on Newstart at the moment.
Exactly. And yeah, so that the statistics tell us that this model doesn't exist anymore, but because families can be everyone,
yeah,
and anyone, and look like all sorts of family, you know, different kinds of families.
Absolutely.
But this breadwinner model is incredibly entrenched in particular industries, and I guess we have to really work, and that's what the struggle has been, to say, yes, we demand equal pay for equal work, but what we now have to look at is, why are these industries looking so different, and why are some industries being lowly paid? If we look at aged care workers, childcare workers and so on, which are traditionally all women, they are extraordinarily lowly paid.
Of course.
And of course we know that's because the bulk of them are women. So that's absolutely where the work needs to lie.
Yeah.
And I think what we need to do is start targeting industries, which is what we saw last year for the childcare workers. You know, people, you know, we supposedly have a society that values family values and values our children, but we pay the people who care for them, you know, peanuts. So
absolutely,
that's not viable. So what, instead of worrying about equal pay, what we need for equal work, which we have legislated, what we need to be looking at is the in-industry pays, and why are some industries so poorly paid when others aren't.
Absolutely, 100%, Mary. Well, thank you so, so much for joining us on the show today. It's been really great talking about this.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much, and all the very best.
Oh, you too.
And the struggle continues.
All we got to do is rise up and fight.
Exactly.
Bye now. Thank you, Mary.